There are pictures of different things to show you how you're feeling. Instead of just typing a sentence, you'd say, like, I'm at the Ellen show right now, smiley face. You know, or I just walked into a telephone pole while I'm texting, sad face. You know? There's a snake, and there's chickens, and ladybugs, and tropical fish. What does that mean? Why would you need a see you in 20 minutes, tropical fish? Like...
Oh, so testify. That's what I reckon. Ellen DeGeneres, of course. And she's talking about the rise of emojis. I got to say, so these are like popular emoticons and some of them are animated and whatever. And I don't get them. I don't get why you do it. I think it's a regression. I don't understand why we went from cave paintings all the way back to cave paintings. But anyway, it's a thing. I'm clearly not part of that thing. Where do they come from? Are they helpful? I don't know. But Dr. Sarah Passfield at NeoFitu does know. She lectures in sociolinguistics and Japanese at Monash University, and she's here to talk to us. The Japanese is relevant.
Yes, it is. Emoji is a Japanese word by its etymology. It's made up of two words, two parts, e meaning picture and moji meaning characters.
Yeah, right, and that's exactly what they are.
It is, absolutely, but the similarity to emoticons is actually coincidental. So the word emoticon meaning emotion and icon kind of sounds like an emoji, but it's not
but it's
quite
not
the
related.
Same etymology, no.
Yeah, right.
So I guess the question is, why do we use a Japanese term when we could be using emoticon still?
Is it because the Japanese kind of have driven this?
Well, Japanese certainly has a big part in inventing the emoji that we know today through things like the iPhone and so forth. And basically, this is because Japanese has a huge number of characters that needed to be encoded for computing uses.
Yeah.
If you can imagine a typewriter that would have thousands of Chinese characters, the Japanese hiragana and katakana syllabaries, and all of the English characters as well, I mean, it would take up an entire room.
I see.
Computing was really challenging to be able to encode all of those characters that were required for Japanese, which meant that they had to give a little bit more information. So they used 2-byte instead of 1-byte characters, which essentially doubled the amount of code that was able to be sent. And then an engineer at Docomo, one of the biggest telecommunications companies in Japan, called Shigeta Kurita, back in 98 or 99, depending on who you listen to, thought, why don't we send some pictures via this code as well? So rather than just sending a code that tells you what character to display, why not send one that tells you what picture to display? So Docomo phones started to have all of these kinds of pictures that Shigeta and his friends had decided to include, which is why we have some kind of strange ones like the types that Ellen mentioned, because they were kind of made up arbitrarily.
Right, but do they have meanings that are useful? I mean, because I don't get the reason you would do it. You know, that's the thing, I guess. I kind of feel like, and I'll sound like a parent here, use your words.
Absolutely. But then I would come back and ask whether you found it helpful when you could see a picture of a man and a woman meaning toilet the last time you were in an international airport.
Right, okay.
So there are some uses where this kind of universal language can be really helpful in terms of visual imagery. But there are also features that are missing from face-to-face communication in text. So things like facial expressions. And that's why we have this word emoticon in English meaning emotion and icon. So it's intended to give you the kind of facial expressions and gestures that might be lacking otherwise.
Sure.
Although, as Ellen mentioned, some of those features like tropical fish are probably less likely to be indicating an emotional state, or at least if there is one for tropical fish, I'm not sure what it is.
What does the tropical fish mean?
I'm not sure on the tropical fish, actually. I think it's actually a decorative purpose. So some of the emoji are used for communicative purposes, so things like, you know, I want to express that I'm happy or sad or wish you good luck or something like that. Mm. But some of them are definitely much more decorative, and others are used in a kind of code-like function to try and obscure your communication from other people.
Oh, how's that?
So if you want to talk about something that you perhaps don't want others to do, you might sort of substitute emoticons for that.
Oh, I see. Right. And just hope that other people can't crack the code effectively.
Absolutely. One example, which isn't a particularly secret code, but just a little bit of wordplay, I was texting somebody that I was at Hawkesburn Station, and I sent them a picture of a bird and a picture of some flames. So that was to indicate the station name. So if you wanted
Hawkesburn,
to be covert about that, you could.
Yeah, I suppose. But you're asking a lot. It's a lot of work. And I kind of feel like we evolved language to kind of not have to do all that work, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, partially. So sometimes there are certain ways in which we can definitely communicate more effectively through textual means, but I think that there are some occasions on which words simply don't suffice. So if you want to express that you love somebody, maybe the emotion is conveyed a little bit more if you have a love heart at the end of it or something like that. It indicates tone of voice, perhaps. Or if you want to distinguish between when you're sarcastic or when you're really serious about something, sending an angry emoticon versus a happy one might help with
that. So, okay. Is there a sarcasm emoticon?
Various people have tried to invent them. Whether it's universally understood is another question, because, of course, sarcasm itself is often misunderstood.
Yes, but is sarcasm culturally bound? Is it
definitely,
like, a specifically Western thing, or is it, like, does it exist in every culture?
It's often said that Japanese people aren't sarcastic, but I certainly know a lot of sarcastic Japanese people. So I don't know that it is culturally bound in the sense that it's completely foreign to other cultures, but certainly what counts as a joke definitely differs across different cultures and different people, and obviously within cultures too.
So is that what makes this different from hieroglyphics? Because I've kind of felt like it's great that we've developed all this cutting-edge technology so we can communicate like cavemen did. Clearly I'm missing...
I think that there certainly is part of that dimension. So whenever we use emoticons or emoji in a kind of simplistic sense where we use a picture of a horse to actually mean a horse, then that definitely is very similar to the kinds of writing that our ancestors would have depicted when they were recording on clay tablets about the trades that they'd done between different cattle and things like that.
Yeah.
But when we do kinds of wordplay where we're substituting emoticons for their phonetic value, for the basis of their sounds, then we start to see some creative almost wordplay or poetry that you might not see otherwise. So things like entire stories or song lyrics being written just in emoji.
I see, yeah. Is it true your grandma's really into emoji?
My grandmother was. Unfortunately, she's passed away.
But
she would write me letters when I was overseas, which included smiley faces. So this isn't something that she'd picked up from text messaging. Text messaging didn't even exist at the time. And she certainly wasn't a big texter in any case later on. So the uses of smiley faces are obviously quite well established,
yes.
And there's some dispute over who invented the first smiley face, actually. Some people attribute it to an American artist who was charged with the task of creating something that would make insurance salesmen smile more. So a sort of logo to try and improve their moods,
I suppose. What a task, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But then the commercial registration of it was actually by a French journalist, I believe, in 1972. And he then went on to found the Smiley Company, which actually claims on its website that the original logo was based on, as you say, a stone carving in a cave 4,500 years ago. So we can argue that there's certainly not a completely new phenomenon, that we've been using icons like this for a very long time.
Yeah, the circle completes itself. You got a great job. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing some of it with us. That's Dr. Sarah Passfield-Niafitu, who lectures in sociolinguistics and Japanese at Monash University. We'll leave Ali with you for Drive.